to go ahead and get started in worship.
Hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
Church on fire with
you Church in this nation has looked upon the generation of youth and they have shook their head and they have spoken in their hearts and said, there is no hope. It is a generation that has chosen technology as their God. It is a generation of unbelievers that hasn't darkened the door of the church. It is a generation that is rebellious, a generation that is disrespectful. But this is what the Lord says. I tell you now, church, I have chosen the generation of youth, and I am going to bring revival to them, says the Lord. I have chosen the generation of youth, and I'm going to bring revival even to this nation through them. I have chosen the generation of youth, and it will be an underground movement, says the Lord. Much of my church and much of the established church won't embrace it, but I tell you this, says the Lord, is a visitation from me. Not only the generation of youth that you see now, but the generation after, says the Lord. I will bring revival to them. I will capture their hearts, and I will place in them a passion for my son Jesus. Revival is coming in the generation of youth. It is a visitation from me. Don't miss it, says the Lord.
Glory.
nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill me. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Let this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Lord, we just come before you and humbled by your presence. And it is what our hearts long for. And we just ask that not be a Sunday morning thing, that not be a when we're at our highs with you, that be just a daily 24/7 thing, that our hearts are just filled with your presence. Ask that you be with us for the rest of this service, for the rest of our week. In your name I pray. In your name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated. How many of you long for what we're singing about? Amen? Yeah. To be overcome, overwhelmed, by His Spirit. It's God's promise to us. Is my microphone on? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Did you hear the word of the Lord this morning? Because it's important to hear, not just to hear, but to really consider what it is God's speaking to me. If you're here in this service today and you're under 30 years old, I'd like for you to stand up, please. Would you just stand to your feet? If you're under 30 years old. You are the first wave. You are the first wave of what the Lord's speaking to us today. Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Oh, you're too young. You don't have enough experience yet. Listen, when the Holy Spirit's involved, great things can happen to a heart that is yielded to Him. I heard someone say this week that God is totally responsible for the lives of those who are totally committed to Him. He takes full responsibility for you. Do not let them despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. You know, you can be an example to me. I'm an old guy, but I need your example. You bring life into me. And there are others coming behind you that some of us would say, nah. But what's been spoken today is we need to be ready to receive that. Here's the word of the Lord to you. But be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's God's call to you today. Amen. And right over here, he says to Timothy again, he's just constantly encouraging him. He says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I want anybody that's sitting close to these folks, just lay your hands on them right now. And we're going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. This is the first wave of that generation that is coming to us, that you are equipping right now. You are preparing hearts right now. They don't even know it. You're pursuing them before they even know you're doing it. You're loving them before they ever loved you. They are chosen vessels of yours. You've chosen them in advance. And these vessels are going to be filled with your power and your glory. And this could be the greatest generation that has ever walked among us. Lord, I believe that. There are those who say, no. But Lord, we believe it's possible by the power of your Spirit. We pray it would rest upon those who are standing here in this place. Use them, Lord. Use them and let them believe with all their hearts that they are a glove on your hand and people's lives depend on their obedience to you, Father. Just fill them with joy. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your Spirit. Let's just lift our voices. Amen. All of us together. Father, we just praise you. We just exalt your name. We thank you for these lives that are standing before us, and we don't take them for granted. They are precious to us. They are precious to you. Use them. Use them. Use them, Lord. Lift their hearts. Encourage them today for your purposes and your plans in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, take time, will you, this morning. Just hug somebody's neck and hug these who are standing. Let them know you love them and you appreciate them, and then we'll come back together again. All right? God bless you.
standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You
I know you do. Check, check. All right, ladies and gentlemen, would you please find your seats? Or find a seat, you know, no designated seating, I should say. Well, you know, usually up here I give the announcements, but Frank Garcia and I have been working on video announcements, and we were very blessed because we had an awesome guest visitor from California come help us shoot the video announcements. So we want you guys to check that out. Let's roll it.
Good morning, FCC. Frank Garcia back for week two of the announcements. I guess I did an okay job last week because they invited me back. But today, guess what? We are in for a treat. We have a special guest here to do the announcements for you, straight from Venice Beach, California. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only,
weighing in at 285 pounds, is the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion, Hollywood Hulk.
Thank you for that beautiful intro, Frank Garcia. The Hulkster's here. It's great to be here at FCC. What an honor it is. You know, the Hulkster's in town for one thing. Back in the day, when I used to hit the weight room, not as often as I do now, but back in the day, your pastor, Pastor Joe Voss, he was my spotter. That's right, I'd be trying to pump that iron, and he'd be right there saying, you can do it, Hulkster, you can do it. The prayer, the training, the vitamins, Pastor Joe, that's all up to you. Thank you. Thank you for that inspiration. Let's get into these announcements. Saturday, March 12th, brothers. Under His Wings Women's Retreat, 8:30 to 4:30. FCC. Check your bulletin for more info on that. March 18th through the 19th, that's the youth lock-in. $5 per person, brother. $5. That's small. Small compared to the fun you're going to have there. Friday, 9 p.m. to Saturday at 9 a.m. Don't forget that. March 18th through the 19th, youth. It's exciting to be here because of what you're going to do. That's right, youth. When FCC gets a hold of you. Let's continue. March 20th, Palm Sunday. Glory to God. You need to be here right now for that. That's right. March 20th, you need to be here for that. Thursday, March 24th, night at the table. Candlelight service, 7 to 8 p.m. here at FCC. You want to make sure you come out for that for a great time of fellowship. Friday, March 25th, night at the movies. Risen. That's the movie. I'm having problems with my mustache right now, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. Risen, that's the movie. It's the last day to sign up is today. Check your clipboards. Check the clipboards and sign up today. I'm just going to keep my hand right here. Saturday, March 28th. Night at the Tomb. 11 p.m. here at FCC. Bring a meal. That's right, bring a meal. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. I got everyone laughing at me here in the background, so I'm trying to keep a straight face here. The Hulkster's going to get you, brothers. I'm telling you that. Whoops. I'm telling you that right here, right now. Sunday, March 27th. Resurrection Sunday. That's right. You want to be here for that great, great service. It'll be a great time as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, brothers. Men's breakfast. First Saturday of each month. By the way, it was a great time yesterday. All you men that showed up, thank you for showing up. What a great time. If you're visiting here this morning, the Hulkster doesn't want to forget about you. He wants to make sure that you sign up with a visitor card that's located in the seat in front of you. And I'm sure they don't want me to forget, too. If you feel led to give this morning the offering, put it in an envelope. Put it in a box in the back, if you like. Again, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. Frank Garcia, thank you for letting me be here. Pastor Joe Voss, Pastor Greg, Pastor Kelly, thank you. Thank you for allowing the Hulkster. That's right. For being here doing these announcements. And what you gonna do with these 24-inch pythons? Come after you. Let's have a great service.
I notice even the kids are into announcements now. That's pretty good, right? Praise the Lord. Well, listen, we want to thank Frank for doing that for us and making a very boring time of the service a little more interesting. So we do have some clipboards we're passing around for the movie night at the movies. We're going to go see Risen. This is a story of the resurrection told through the eyes of a non-believer. Clavius, who's a military tribune, and his aide, Lucius, are given the task of solving the mystery of what happened to Jesus in the weeks following the resurrection. And they end up having an encounter with Jesus himself. You'll enjoy it. If you can, sign up for an extra ticket. If you want to bring a friend, it's a great opportunity to reach out to someone. We need a final count today because that determines what size theater we're going to get. We have to let the Warren Theater know. It'll be the Warren Theater West. And then we'll have a time. The cost is probably going to be somewhere around $5-7. So, and again, don't let that stop you, but this is a great opportunity. People will go to the movie house before they'll come to this house, so it's a wonderful opportunity just to reach out and touch someone. So we want to encourage you to do that. Amen? So those clipboards are coming around. Just sign up so we can get that count today. Church Outside the Walls, the guys got together yesterday. It was awesome. We had 45 men gathered here. We got to hear Brother Rich speak from India. And wow, what a stirring time that was. We were kind of excited when we got here. The city was out here working on the sewer system. So they said bathrooms were a problem, and we just immediately praised God that it wasn't next weekend when the ladies are here. Amen. Because guys have options, but ladies don't. So We thought, oh, glory to God. But these are our cooks that prepared an awesome, awesome, awesome meal for us today, or yesterday. And here's a picture of some of the guys. We just had a great time. It was awesome. We want to thank you all for being a part of that. And Kenny's going to be talking to us more. We got another overnight retreat coming up for the guys. The women are meeting next weekend. I understand we have a count of 65 women who will be joining us next weekend. I want you to think about that for a minute. 65 women, 45 men. That's incredible in a church this size. And that's just awesome. There are more women than men, too. That's another observation. But we're outnumbered, guys. But it's awesome. So I want you to be praying next weekend. I'm going to be up at IHOP for a few days next week. I'll be praying. If you have any prayer requests you want to give me to take with me, I'm going to be spending some time in some intense prayer. And of course, you're at the top of my list. So please be a part of that. We want to now have a need we want to share with you. This is Anna. That's not Anna, but it's about a need that Anna has. Her car broke down for the umpteenth time yesterday, and we're about ready to give it last rites. And so if anybody has a vehicle that she could borrow, that'd be awesome. Or even if you have a vehicle that maybe she could secure permanently, that would be awesome too. It does need to run, though, because if it doesn't run, we can have what we got. It doesn't run either. But you might know someone. I wish I had known yesterday. We'd have said something to the guys, but I told Anna we would make mention of that. Also, we have another need, and that is Mark Harmon. Is Mark here today? I don't see him. He is here. Where's he at? Sitting in the back row? Oh, okay. Oh, Adrian. Oh, there he is. Where were you at? Oh, okay. None of my business, right? Okay. Just checking on you, brother. Well, Mark's sister is in town, and she's working, getting some experience with HR, and needs a room to rent somewhere. She's 49 years of age, and we just want to make sure she ends up in a safe place. So if you know of a safe place where someone that we would feel comfortable with, that could rent a room for inexpensively, that would be a great, would be able to meet a great need in their family. So please be in prayer about that. You might know someone who knows somebody. Let your people talk to my people, and we'll figure something out, okay? Praise the Lord. So be praying about that. I love meeting needs. It's just awesome when we connect together. Well, it's time for the children to be dismissed to go to Children's Church, so you can make your way back there. In fact, the folks stand in the back. Look in your program. We even got a story about that. Look at there. There's your picture. Did you know that? You're so modest. Glory to God. But you can hear all about them. You're going to have a great time. Amen. Some of you would probably rather go with them, but you're going to have to stay here. We're preaching on encouragement today. You know, I heard a story the other day of a pastor who was leaving the church, moving on, and there was a lady there who was kind of disappointed about it. You know, she was a little discouraged, and he wanted to encourage her, and he said, hey, just think, you'll probably get a pastor better than me this time. She said, well, that's what they said last time, and it didn't work out that way. So you might feel like you're in that boat today, but we're going to be encouraged today. Amen. We're going to continue our series today, our sermon. It's been 6 weeks now that we've been on our journey about biblical, authentic relationships. And I hope this has been meaningful for you as it has been for me. We're not just interested in passing out information here. It's not enough just to have knowledge, although that's where you start, but there must be application. If there's not application, there'll be no spiritual maturity. And so I know for me, I've been applying this message. I'm preaching to myself these weeks and trying to apply many of the things that we have heard. If you remember, we started 6 weeks ago with the three P's of authentic relationship. Who could tell me what they are? What's the first P? The what? The plan. Secondly, the problem. Third, the provision. That's right. Good. I'm proud of you. All right. What is the plan? God had a plan for relationships. He says it's not good that man be alone. He put together this incredible plan, but there was a problem. And still affects us today. It's called sin. And sin entered into the garden, and ever since then, it's been affecting the relationships even that we have here, both vertically and horizontally. But God made a provision. Aren't you glad today? We've been talking about God made a provision. We're going to celebrate it here during Holy Week. God made a provision of His love that came on the cross and overwhelmed us, right? And now, here's the cool part. We not only have received God's love, but guess what we get to do? We get to love other people with that love. See, God wants to love other people through you. And so you can be a glove on God's hand. And that's the provision, and it takes us back to the original plan. My concern in the church today is that we model the problem more than we model the provision. We want to model the provision. That's what the world's looking for today. And I believe God has put within our means this wonderful provision that is the antidote to the problem that will take us back to the original plan. After that, we began to talk about the bridge of reconciliation. Do you remember that? And we watched Paul reconcile Onesimus and Philemon and connect them back together. They were in conflict, and Paul built a bridge of reconciliation. We were challenged to be bridge builders, not wall builders. And in any church where there's authentic relationship, you will find this bridge. It is the bridge of reconciliation. It's the biggest problem in the church today is broken relationships. God wants to reconcile them. And so the Lord has been illuminating these truths to us. We also heard a message from Steve Crawford about the harvest. And Steve spoke again today, and I believe it's connected to the harvest again. It just keeps coming at us, doesn't it? That God has a harvest. It's sovereign. You can't take credit for it. God's going to bring it to us. But this harvest is a damaged harvest. People will be coming to us who are broken, who are hurting. I like to say people who walk with a limp. In fact, those are the kind of people I like to follow, really, because I know they've been through some stuff. I think probably they have a tendency to be a little more authentic. And I think that's what God is calling us to. And so we have looked at this whole idea of authentic relationship, and I believe biblical authentic relationships are how we will receive this harvest. And in your insert, in your program today, it's a little thicker than normal because it's the first Sunday. You got to go all the way to the back. You'll find the insert there on the marks of authentic relationship. And the last couple weeks we've been looking at that. And Donna has already filled in for you the four letters in the acrostic of authentic that we have already looked at. A, that is being available. In authentic relationships, we're going to be available for each other. Amen. And I love this church because you are. And I believe God wants to just kick it up a notch for us. Because somebody who's in a real authentic friendship with you, they will be available for you. That availability is wrapped in a spirit of unconditional love. That's how God loves us. And He says, I want you to love other people the way I love you. Just that simple, isn't it? So it's His love coming through us. Man, that could start in your home. Did you know that? Guys, you know you can love your wives that way. Yeah, with God's love. It's not you, it's God. I said, Jesus, love my wife today through me. In fact, I'll hug her sometimes and say, this is from Jesus. Make it spiritual. All right, praise the Lord. She's more open that way. Praise the Lord. What was the T last week? Do you remember that? Oh, yes, transparency. How many of you like that? Boy, I've been working on that this week. It is a weakness in my life that I want to be more transparent. Remember the definition of transparency is light being able to shine through and show the object behind you. That's transparency. Who is that object? It is Christ in the cross. We want people to look at our lives and see Him. I'm not Jesus, but I'd sure like to remind people about, I'd like to remind them of Him when they look at my life. How about you? And that comes through transparency. And we also realize that that transparency must be wrapped in the arms of humility. Amen? That through humility, God gives us grace. And we need grace in these relationships. And the only way we can be transparent is to humble ourselves before God. And we saw the parable that Jesus spoke of the tax collector and the Pharisee. I got a friend who's an IRS agent, and I always tease him about, you know, the Bible seems to be down on tax collectors. You know, have you noticed that? And I always give him the berries for that. But he loves that parable because he says, we come out on top in that parable, right? He's right, isn't he? Because here's the Pharisee. Man, I'm so righteous. I'm so good. You know, I never have a dirty thought. I mean, just saying, you know, I tithe. I do all that. I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there who was the tax collector. And Jesus said he cried out to God, not even looking up to heaven. He said, I am a sinner. And what did Jesus say about that tax collector? He said he went home justified. Not the Pharisee, but the sinner. And that comes out of that spirit of transparency. And the enemy of humility is also the enemy of transparency. And what is that enemy? Say the word. Pride. It's the greatest enemy to transparency. Remember, last week we talked about pride always wants to put itself in the best light, right? And this is a weakness of mine. I want people to see me in the best light. But humility wants people to see Jesus in the best light. See, it's so subtle, isn't it? And I believe God is calling us in authentic relationships to walk in a spirit of transparency and humility. Well, today we're going to only look at one letter, and we'll rush through it to be able to get through, because it's an important letter. It's the letter E. And I believe one of the marks that should always be present in an authentic relationship is a consistent spirit of encouragement. Encouragement. You say, how important is that, Pastor? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's see how important it is. How many of you have ever been discouraged? How many of you in the last year have wrestled with discouragement? How many of you in the last month? How about last week? How about today? There are people who fill our sanctuaries every Sunday who deal with discouragement. That's how important it is. And I believe God is calling us to overcome discouragement in our lives, but not only that, but to help others overcome discouragement in their lives. And to do that, you must understand an important principle. It's pretty simple. But sometimes we act like we don't believe it. It's simply this. No one, I repeat, no one is immune to times of discouragement. No one. I don't care how long you've been going to church. I don't care how well you know your Bible. I don't care how much faith you have. I don't care if you move into gifts every day. Everyone oftentimes has to encounter this spirit of discouragement. It comes from many directions, doesn't it? In fact, many of the greatest heroes of the Bible, heroes of faith, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, struggled with times of discouragement. And I'm glad the Bible is transparent about that, aren't you? Because if it wasn't, I'd feel a little bummed out about that. Because I think, man, there must be something wrong with me. But no, it's true. And I want to show you an example of that. And I'm going to try to go through this quickly as I can, respect for your time. But the story I love most is the story of Elijah. Elijah was a man of faith, is that right? Wow. He's on another level than me, I can tell you that. In fact, if you take your Bible, and we can't read every verse, but you start in chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 19 of 1 Kings, you will find his story. It begins in chapter 17. He appears before the king, King Ahab. And what does he declare to him? He said, the Lord has told me to tell you that there's not going to be any rain on the earth until I say so. Man, you better be hearing from God if you're going to stand before the king and make that announcement, right? He said, there's not going to be any rain. I mean, zero rain. He didn't know for how long. We know, because we can read the story, it was 3 years without rain. He said, there will be no rain until I say so. And then what happened? Well, you know, sometimes when God is judging a nation, because what had happened is they had turned to the prophets of Baal. And so God was wanting to turn their hearts back to him. But sometimes when God judges a nation or he judges a people, innocent people suffer. It's true when you sin. My sins affect innocent people around me. It's true. They affect my children. When I sin, it's not just me. That's why it's often interesting to me. People go, well, you know, it's my life. Just let me do what I want. Don't worry about me. Well, the problem is your life affects us. It's like spaghetti. It all connects. It touches. There's nothing you can do that doesn't affect other people. Well, here in this case, God takes care of his people, even in the midst of the judgment. And Elijah, as you see in verse 17, he's sent down to the brook Cherith. And God says to him, listen, I want you to stay by this brook, and here's the cool part. I'm going to take care of you during the drought. You're going to have water, and not only that, I'm going to feed you. And boy, does he have a catering program that's out of sight. He says, I'm going to have the ravens come and feed you. And they're going to bring you bread and meat. And they're going to come for breakfast, and they're going to come for dinner. How many of you, a little OCD like me, would be afraid to touch that meat? Where did you get that, Raven? You know, somebody's trash can. Where did that come? Well, you learn. Don't ask questions. Just eat what's set before you, right? Praise the Lord. Well, here come these ravens, and they're bringing Elijah food every morning, every evening. Is that kind of cool? Man, no discouragement in this picture, is there? I mean, wow, things are happening. God's providing. God has honored his word. And then what happens? The brook dries up. Have you ever had your brook dry up? I have. Where God's providing, things are going, and all of a sudden, nothing. It's just dry as can be. What's this, God? Be ready. When that happens, sometimes God's getting ready to lead you somewhere. And so Elijah got up from the brook he had to. It was dried up. He couldn't stay there. He had to leave. And we know the story that God took him to the widow. And he comes up to the town, and here's this widow gathering sticks. And he says to the widow, "Can you give me a drink?" And the widow goes, "Sure, sure." She brings you a drink of water, which is a big deal if you're in a drought. We kind of take water for granted. You know, we got it in little bottles. We can get water anywhere. But then he says to her, "Listen, while you're at it, could you make me a little cake? Bring me some bread." And she goes, "That's a problem. That's a big problem. You see, all I have is a handful of flour, and I have this little jar of oil. And the reason I'm gathering these sticks is I'm going to build a fire, and I was going to cook this bread with this oil, and I was going to feed it to my son and I, and then we're going to die. Because this is it for us." And the prophet makes an incredible request of her. First he says, "Don't be afraid." See, when you get this, do you think she might have been a little discouraged? Yeah. Discouragement brings fear. And he said, "Don't be afraid. Make me a small cake. Make me a cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son." How many of you know that goes against your nature? What? Wait a minute. You want me to give you first? I got. Come on, moms. You got to take care of your kids, right? Wait a minute. I got to take care of my son. No, give it to me first. And he makes her an incredible promise, doesn't he? He says, "If you'll do that, the Lord God says this, 'The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth.'" Incredible story. What happens? Amazing. Every time she goes to get flour out of the bin, there's flour there. Every time she pours oil from the jar, there's more oil in the jar. It just keeps flowing. It's a gift that keeps on giving. And just as the prophet said, it never ran dry. It never ran out until rain came upon the earth. Notice, are you encouraged in this story? Isn't this cool? Is this cool? I mean, if you were Elijah, are you hitting on all cylinders right now? Baby, we are doing well. You know, God's honoring his word. The ravens have fed me. Now God's doing this. Well, then now something else happens in the story. What happens? Her son becomes ill. Till there is no breath in him. And she becomes discouraged again. Wow, here I've done what God said, and this is what I get for it. Have you ever felt that way? God, I have served you, and this is what I get. Discouragement will do that to you. It blinds you where you cannot see God. And so Elijah goes up to the room where the boy was, and he laid on him three times. Laid on him, prayed, and God brought him back. And he took the boy in his arms, and he brought him downstairs. He said, "Here's your son. He is alive." And they rejoiced. And the woman made this declaration. I told my wife, I'd like to have this on my tombstone. I wish people would say this about me someday. She says, in verse 24, chapter 17, "I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Wow. Would that be true? Well, we know that Joshua kind of disappears. How many know the kingdom is upset with Joshua right now, right? I mean, drought's on the land. He's the one that declared it. Let's go get him and kill him. But everywhere they went, they couldn't find him. They searched everywhere from town to town. They sent armies. Other nations got involved. Couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. Search and search. And all of a sudden, Elijah shows up on the scene, and he comes and meets Obadiah on the road. And Obadiah has been faithful to God. In fact, Obadiah has hid 100 of God's prophets in the caves. 50 in one cave, 50 in another. He's hid them away because they were killing all the prophets. They were killing all of God's people. It was a time of great heaviness on the land. Discouragement ran rampant. But here was Obadiah. And here comes Elijah, and he goes, "Hey, Obadiah, I want you to go tell the king that I'd like to see him." And Obadiah, in essence, says, you go tell him. I don't want to go tell him. No, you go tell him. Go tell him I want to have an appearance with him. But Elijah, he'll kill me. He's trying to kill you. He'll kill. No, you go tell him today. I will see him today. I will appear before him. So Obadiah says, okay, and we know what happens. And Elijah goes and appears before the king. And the king says, oh, you're trouble. He goes, no, you're trouble, O king. You're the one who's brought trouble upon this land because you have turned from God to the prophets of Baal. And then he gives a strange request. He says, listen, I want you to call all the prophets of Baal together, 450 of them. We're going to meet on Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a showdown at the OK Corral. We're going to find out who is God. I kind of would have liked to have been there. How about you? Is Elijah riding high right now? He's hitting on all cylinders. Wow, everything's working for Elijah. And so they come, and the prophets show up, and he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to both take a bull, we're going to kill the bull, and we're going to put him on the wood, and we're going to sacrifice the bull. You sacrifice to Baal, I'm going to sacrifice to God. Only, here's the rule, though. No, you cannot light the fire. You got to pray fire down. And so the prophets of Baal, we know the story, they got together, they began to run around, and they even cut themselves, that was their custom. And they're crying out, and they did it all day until the evening sacrifice. And Elijah let them do it, and he goes, well, time's kind of run out. I think your God is sleeping, or something's going on because he's not responding. My turn now. He said, but now I'm going to kick the game up a notch. I want you guys to bring some water buckets over here, and I want you to soak this wood with water. And they did it. He said, oh, do it again. Make it good and wet. We were watching Survivor the other night, one of my favorite shows, and they were in this rainy, swampy place. And what's the number one thing you need when you're trying to survive? Besides water, you need fire, right? And what was the problem? Everything was wet. It was the biggest, and the one night they couldn't even get fire. They had to cuddle up without the fire, and it was a cold night because it was so wet. Water and fire do not go together. And here's Elijah. And he begins to pray. It's the time of the evening sacrifice. And Elijah prayed to God, and God brought down fire out of heaven. It wasn't just any fire. It burned up the sacrifice. It burned up the wood. It burned up everything. And there was no water left. There was nothing. It was gone. And all those standing around went, oh, Elijah, your God is God. Your God is God. The stories we heard yesterday from our brother from India, did you catch it? He was talking about God doing miracles in India, a place where you could be killed for, you just don't come and preach the gospel there. You know, if you're a Hindu, man, and you become a Christian, they're going to take your life. And he said, but God began to manifest himself and reveal himself. Do you think God still wants to do that today? I think he does. I think he doesn't. And so, but here's Elijah, and everybody just goes, wow, this is incredible. We're turning to your God, Elijah. He goes, oh, by the way, gather up those 450 prophets of Baal, and we're going to take them down the valley, and we're going to kill every last one of them. How many of you don't like that part of the story? God wouldn't do that. See, that's Old Testament. I want you to know, you don't really know God. You don't understand who this God is. God was looking at the big picture, and he was saying, I am jealous for my people. And what has happened in this place has stirred my anger and wrath. And the prophets of Baal were eliminated. How many of you think Elijah, it's all worked out for him, he's batting 1,000. But what happens? Elijah gets a letter. Oh, Elijah, here's a little telegram. It's from Jezebel, the queen. She'd like to share a word with you. Elijah, I've heard about what you did to the prophets of Baal. And I just want you to know, let the gods do to me and more also, if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I said,
Bring it on, sister. I just called fire down out of heaven. I just got fed by the ravens. I saw a whittle with oil and bread that never ran dry. The rain stopped until just now when I said so. And at the end of that time, they'd sent them out seven times to see, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And finally it did. It was a gully washer, wasn't it? And Elijah, you're going to fret over this letter? Are you kidding me? And when he read the letter, he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Notice he went by himself. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. He said, Lord, is it enough? Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. What is that? Discouragement. Despair. It can happen to even a man of faith. You can be riding high, and the next day, you're down in the dumps. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because it's happened to me. Have you ever been depressed? I have. And you don't even have a reason why. You just feel that way, right? You get up and you're just kind of down. And the enemy will whisper in your ear, you're not a man of God. Well, just take him to Elijah. Oh, yeah? What about Elijah? I mean, Elijah, what happened to Elijah? God took him up in a whirlwind. Holy mackerel. This guy got to go direct to heaven in a fiery chariot. You know what? Why that encourages me? Because God never put him down for his discouragement. He just came alongside of him because he's sympathetic with our weakness. He understands that we are prone to these things. And what happened? An angel came and fed him. Do you know, when you're discouraged, you need to take nourishment. Did you know that? You need to get your rest. Because sometimes you get so discouraged, you stop eating, you separate yourself from people. It's true. It's true. And you start doing all the things you shouldn't be doing. And God, he said, when you're discouraged, and this is where authentic relationships come in, because we can come around and encourage people to do the right things. Well, he went to a cave, and he spent the night in the place, and God appeared to him. And he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, well, I've been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They tore down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. I'm the only guy standing, Lord. Nah, not true. That's the way he felt. Because when you're discouraged, that is how you feel. God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still small voice. Elijah heard the voice. He wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him again and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel. He keeps telling the story, doesn't he? They've forsaken your covenant, Lord. They tore down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, in case you didn't know. They seek to take my life. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And he goes through this list of people. And he even tells them, listen, I have 7,000 reserved for me that you know nothing about. See, when you're discouraged, you can't see it. God has a plan, and it's always at work. And I want you to understand today that God is calling us, I believe, to encourage one another. It is our ministry. I'll give you these verses before we come to the table this morning. I want you to understand this. These things were recorded for our profit. I'm glad the Bible's transparent. I'm glad David's in there. A man after God's own heart. What did he do? Oh, he just murdered, had somebody murdered, no big deal. We'll call him David the Knife, right? Wait a minute. This is the king of Israel. He's messed up. Yeah, and so are you. That's the problem. But we have a provision that takes us back to the original plan. In 1 Corinthians 10:11-13, these things happen to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Listen, God has a way out for discouragement. He wants to exchange discouragement for encouragement. And you know what else He wants to do? I believe He wants to maybe use you as a way out for someone else. Did you know that? You could be a way out for someone else. Do you know how many times I've been encouraged by someone and they didn't even know that I was struggling? And they sent me a little card, or they called me, and it just lifted me up. It was a way out. God will always give you a way out. He's promised it. I used to have a sign in my agency office, and Kendra's here. She knows about this sign. Sat by my desk, by my phone, and it simply said this: how do you know if someone needs encouragement? Are they breathing? So if you can put a mirror under their nose and you get a little fog, they need encouragement. Some people will make you believe they don't need encouragement. Don't you believe them? Oh, man, I don't need encouragement. I'm strong, man. I'm tough. No, you're a liar. You need encouragement. You just hide it well. Some of us are a little more open about, somebody come help me. I'm discouraged, you know. Oh, I'm transparent, right? Gosh. But the other people are hidden. But God will call you to come alongside and to encourage, won't He? That's our love pledge, isn't it? To listen, to overlook, to value, to encourage. We're going to do it every day. We need to make it our goal that we are going to be a dispenser of encouragement on a daily basis. And before I put my head on my pillow tonight, I want to say, who did I encourage today? Who did I encourage today? What does it mean? It means to inspire another to courage. It means to strengthen, to come alongside, to comfort. Who did I do that for today? I don't want to go to bed, Lord, until I have done that. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another, exhort one another daily. Daily. As long as it is called today, lest any become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice the word encourage is in the present tense. It indicates we are to have a habit, a lifestyle, a culture of encouragement. Does this church have a culture of encouragement? People, do you understand that if you have a culture of encouragement, people will be drawn to this place like a magnet, because people are discouraged. Where are they going to find encouragement? Where else? Say, hold on a minute, Pastor, just one second. I'm the one who needs encouragement. Wait a minute. Well, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, let me tell you, but I've learned a few things, and I'll tell you something I've learned. It's a secret. Except you don't have to keep it. You can share it with others. When you are discouraged, one of the ways out is to encourage someone else. But I need encouragement. Okay, go encourage someone else. Let me tell you, I call it the great exchange. And Satan hates it. He hates it. And when the enemy discourages me, I make him pay. I make him pay. I make him regret that he discouraged me, because I tell him every time you discourage me, I'm going to go encourage someone else. So if that's what you want me to do, devil, bring it on. Bring it on. The great exchange. Try it. Deuteronomy 3:28. Instructions were given to commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. For he will lead his people across and will cause him to inherit the land that you see. Hezekiah was being attacked by the king of Assyria. And he says he appointed military officers over the people, and he assembled before them in the square of the city gate. And what did he do? He encouraged them with these words: be strong. Be strong, courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, don't be afraid of them, for there is a greater power with us than is with them. You better be able to see what God sees so you can do what God says. But you got to see it by faith. Discouragement will blind you, and all you'll see is the army and those that are attacking you, and you won't see the greater, much more that God has. while our time is leaving us and we want to gather around the table, but I want you to pray this week. I'm going to give you an assignment. It's pretty simple because you don't want to just be hearers. You want to apply this, right? Ask God to give you somebody to encourage and then be ready. Be ready. He's going to do it. See, how do I do that? Write a note. Send a text. It's okay. Do something. Connect with people. Be available. Handwritten notes, pretty powerful. Let people know you appreciate them. Do you know I'm luckier than most pastors. I like opening the mail here because 99% of the time it's going to be a good letter. And it encourages me. I get stronger every day because of you. Because you have the ministry of encouragement. You know, sometimes people, they get so discouraged they can't see God working in their lives. And you need to tell them, hey, listen, here's how God's working in your life. Did you see God working in your life? This is what God is. Really? I don't see that. Well, let me help you see it. And you come alongside it and you encourage them. You take their concerns seriously. People want you to just listen to them. It encourages them to listen, to be genuine. I'm not talking about flattery. Oh, your hair looks nice. Oh, that dress is knocked out on you. Glory to God. I mean, that's all good stuff. People like to hear that. I'm talking about the type of encouragement that turns people's hearts towards the Lord and lifts them to a higher place. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Discouragement is a thief. It will rob your vitality, your zeal, your joy, your peace, your contentment, your courage, your confidence. It will divide your focus. It will blind you and cause you to make unwise decisions. Never make a decision when you're discouraged. Don't do it. I'm telling you, I've done it. It's never worked out for me. I tell my wife, don't let me do it, honey. Have you ever noticed something else in a marriage? When you're discouraged, hopefully your spouse will be encouraged. Is that right? It's terrible when you're both discouraged. I mean, you can drop like a rock in the ocean when you're both discouraged. And that's where we need you. It's one thing to be discouraged. It's another thing to stay discouraged. That's what God is calling us to. And if you let discouragement stay too long, it will bring its friends. Real quick, I just want to leave you with this. You've heard my 5 D's, right? I've told this to many of you. There's 5 D's. Watch for them. First one is disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed? That's an unfulfilled expectation. I believe God wants you to get to the place where you see disappointment as God's appointment. Because if you don't, disappointment will lead to discouragement. Discouragement always starts with disappointment. But discouragement in and of itself, we've all been there. But if we can deal with it properly, we're fine. But if we don't and we let it stay longer than it should, what's next? Third D, depression. And I speak as one. I know it's hard to believe because I'm a jolly guy and I get up singing in the morning.